The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to their seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away. And you said, 'We will ride upon swift steeds.' Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our text today is the Gospel just read, Luke chapter 12, 35 to 40. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, In our text this evening, Jesus told the parable of the master's return. The master of the house had gone to a wedding, and then, as custom dictated, attended the wedding reception. As you know, or you may remember, wedding receptions can consume the better part of a day and an evening. And this particular master stayed for a long time. He must have been having a good time. Jesus said in verse 38, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night." The first watch of the night, when the master was expected, would be between 6 and 9 p.m., so sometime about now. The second watch was between 9 p.m. and midnight, and the third watch was between midnight and 3 a.m. Some of you have grown children. You may remember back to the days when they still lived at home, but they often stayed out at night for parties or dates. You might have waited for them to come home. How long did you wait before you gave up and went to bed? 9 o'clock? Midnight? 1 o'clock? If you're going out tonight, how late will somebody at home stay up to wait for your return? Well, the purpose of this parable was not to comment on the habits of partygoers, although it fits in for today. The purpose was to make you think about whether or not you'll be ready, that you'll be ready when Jesus comes back, or whether you are willing to wait that long. This is clear from verse 40, which says, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So if you're expecting him at 9 o'clock this evening, he's not going to come. That's the other side of it. Nobody's going to be ready when he does come. So we can ask 6 simple questions about Jesus' return. What, why, when, where, how, and who? What will happen when Jesus returns? Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, 27 to 28, "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This means that Jesus will return to accomplish your redemption from sin, from death, and the devil, and everything that accompanies those bad things as well. Jesus' return will not be primarily a matter of judgment, but of redemption and salvation. That's the main reason he's coming back. Why will Jesus return in this way? Jesus said in John 3, 14 to 17, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus' return in the clouds of heaven will be like the bronze serpent. It will be up there. Everybody will have to look up as they looked up at the bronze serpent and as they looked up at our Lord on Calvary. Those who look up to him for salvation will be saved. Those who shrink away from him because of their unbelief will die of the serpent's poison. When will Jesus return? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4 to 8, "Anytime anybody tells you they know when Jesus is coming back, you should have this passage in your hip pocket. Matthew 24, 4 to 8. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning." Where will Jesus return? Jesus said in Matthew 24:26-27, "If anybody tells you that he's out there in the desert, do not go out. Or he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." How will Jesus return? Jesus said in Matthew 24:29-31, "The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." Who? Who will be gathered as God's elect? Jesus said this in our gospel, Luke 12:37. "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them." Here Jesus teaches a doctrine that later Christian theologians have called the perseverance of the saints, and the term perseverance is in Scripture. Jesus teaches the same doctrine in Matthew 10:22 and 24:13 when he says, "He who endures to the end will be saved." So the question is, how can you endure in faith until the end of your life or until Jesus returns? You should know that if you reject Christ before you die or before he returns, you will not be saved. Only those who continue to believe until the end will be saved. Only them and no others. So how can you persevere in the faith? Well, there are two wrong answers to this question. The first wrong answer is given by many Calvinists, though not all, such as may be found among the German Reformed, the Dutch Reformed, Presbyterians, and Calvinistic Baptists. They say that due to election, once the elect come to faith and believe, they can never fall away, no matter what they do or fail to do. But that makes Jesus' warning in our text irrelevant. Why would Jesus warn the elect to endure to the end if they can never fall away? The second wrong answer, which is much worse than the first, is given by synergists and Arminians. Such are found among the Arminian Baptists, Methodists, and most American evangelicals. They say that perseverance is something that depends on your willpower, your efforts. They say you must always make progress in the faith by getting better and more active in spiritual things, lest you start on the slippery slope to hell. So if there's no progress, you're going to hell. That's the wrong answer. The right answer is given by the Scriptures. St. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:5, "You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." It's God's power that keeps you in the faith. Jesus said in John 10:28-30, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." Paul said in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there are many more Bible passages like that, which prove that God is the one who brought you to the faith, and he will keep you in the faith. You're not the one that keeps you in the faith yourself by your own willpower. Perseverance in the faith, or enduring to the end, however you want to talk about it, is simple if you think about what creates and sustains that faith. God's word and his sacraments create and sustain faith. As long as you continue to hear God's word and receive his sacraments, God will sustain your faith through those means of grace. If you abandon his word and sacraments, then the power of God through the Holy Spirit will not be able to work on you, and then your faith will begin to fade away, and eventually you may or will have no faith. Therefore, being ready for Jesus' return simply means continuing to receive the gifts of God's word and sacraments until he comes. I pray that you will all continue to do that in the new year, and indeed, until Jesus returns. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts of your word and sacraments to us be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.